And it's a good day to be in church today, yes? Yes, it's a good day to be in church. And so there's a couple things I want to do as we look into God's word today. And today is going to be ultra practical, just so you know. And so we have been talking about Inside Out Church. And we said we were going to unpack it. And we said we were going to communicate it. And then we said we were going to call you, each of you, to find your place in it. And I'm just going to be right up front so you don't get any surprises. I just want you to know today's the day that that's happening, that we're calling you to find your place in it. And so I want you also, if you are a person that has a smartphone, you can pull it out. Nobody's going to get you in trouble today. Turn the sound off so you don't drive the people beside you insane. But if you hear something that you think sounds good, you feel free to tweet that or put it out on social media. And if you are a smartphone person, you're actually going to need this at the end of the service. We're not going to put the scriptures on the screen today because they're mostly review. So you can do that through your phone if you want to. But at the end, you're going to need it. And if you're not a smartphone person, don't worry. We've got an alternative for you as well. But you go ahead and tweet whatever you think sounds good. If you think something doesn't sound good, would you let me know privately? Please don't, you know, throw it out there for all of Twitter to kill me before I get home by lunch. So that's what's happening today. So we've been talking about this idea of Inside Out Church, and we started with the thought that the church was God's idea, right? The church was God's idea for revealing Jesus to the world. It was God's plan. That was his whole plan all along. It was this mystery that was revealed, that Jesus would be revealed through the church. And we've been talking about this idea of an inside-out church that doesn't just huddle within its walls, but the doors are flung open. We're outside. We're making a difference in our community and in the city where God has called us to. And we said it's a church that helps the world to see Jesus by what we do out there and by how we treat each other in here, okay? And so let me just do a quick review. So the first part of Inside Out Church was do good. Somebody say that with me. Do good. Okay, say it like you really mean it. Do good. And we looked at Jeremiah chapter 29, which was the story of where the Israelites were in exile in Babylon. They were in a place they didn't want to be. They were looking for God's plan, wanting to know what God had for them. And Jeremiah said to them, this is what God says, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce. How many go, I remember this from 2 weeks ago, right? Four of you. That's awesome. And then he said, you know, get married and have kids and have grandkids. Increase in number there. Don't decrease. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. That was all in Jeremiah. And we said that Jeremiah was saying, be part of the world that God has placed you in. Bloom where you're planted. Yes, God has a plan. This is it. Be part of what God is doing in the world, and work and pray for the peace and prosperity of the city where God has placed us, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And then we flipped over to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, if you're watching on your smartphones. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, and he talks a bit about that. And then he goes on in verse 14, and he says, you are the light of the world, and says, a town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And we said, if we're the salt of the earth, salt only does what it's supposed to do if it's spread out, if it's actually in contact with what it's supposed to be preserving and what it's supposed to be adding flavor to. And we said that if we're the light of the world, light only serves its purpose if it's in a dark place, dispelling the darkness, pushing the darkness back. We said if all the salt and light gather in one place, all huddled together, all of it, all the salt, all the light, it's going to be a very, very salty, very, very bright space that is having no impact at all on the world outside its doors. And so Jesus said, let people see your good deeds and they will glorify God. And we said, what does that even look like when someone that doesn't know God glorifies God because of what a church has done? And we said, maybe it looks like they say, thank God that church is there. People see Jesus when we do good out there. Say it with me again, do good. Do good, okay? And then the second part of the whole thing was love each other. Say that with me, love each other. And Pastor Joe spoke on that last week, and we talked about in John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23, where Jesus was going to the cross, and he was praying. It's his last prayer before he goes to the cross. And this is what he prayed. He said, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." Jesus prayed for all of us. He prayed that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And he goes on and he says, may they be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me. And we said Jesus' last prayer, the thing closest to his heart before he went to the cross, was that the same love that exists between him and Father God would exist between all of us. The depth of loving relationship that exists among the members of the Trinity, Jesus prayed that that depth of relationship would be among all of us, because if that happens, Jesus said, then the world will believe in me. And then we talked about what that looks like, because how many of you have ever been in a church where they talked about loving each other and they actually weren't so good at it? Anybody? Not this church, other churches, right? And so we said, let's just unpack that a little so that there's no loopholes left. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient. Well, didn't half of us just fail right there, right? Imagine a church that looks like this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not even on social media. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered when it's stuck in traffic in downtown Montreal. It keeps no record of wrongs, even though the other person totally was wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Now, just imagine this with me. Imagine a church that looks like that. Always protects, always trusts. Okay. Imagine ushers and elders and board members and kids workers and youth workers and everybody else. Imagine a group of people like that that always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, never fails. Can you imagine what that would be like? The world would see Jesus. And we use that scripture so many times as a reading in a wedding. And it's not just a reading for a wedding. It's a description of how the church is supposed to be. It's a description of how we're supposed to love each other. And if we treated each other in here like that, with patience and kindness and never dishonoring and forgiving and all of that kind of thing. If we did that, you guys, the world would see Jesus. People see Jesus when we love each other in here. Do good, love each other, reveal Jesus. Say it with me. Do good, love each other, reveal Jesus. And everybody goes, yeah! Right? Try that. Right? Yeah, that's the modern version of amen. Okay. Yeah, that's good stuff. That's what church is supposed to be. That's my church. And then you go, I like this pastor. Let's keep her. Okay? So last week, our lead team, our board, got together with me and with Pastor Bill, and we spent a full day together, because there's nobody that understands vision and moving forward and leadership. There's nobody that understands that more than this man here right in the front row, Pastor Bill. And Pauline, who just gave the announcements, she came to me and she said, I know he's retiring. Let's get everything out of him that we can. I thought that was a great idea. And so we pulled together our entire lead team, and we spent hours last Saturday, a week ago yesterday, just talking about the future of our church and trying to figure out where we were going. And so Pastor Bill walked us through six questions, and he based the whole thing on what we call the Great Commission. If that's not language you're familiar with, it's Jesus' instruction to the church in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. That's what we're supposed to do. Go make disciples of all nations. And so assuming that that's our mission, that that's what we're supposed to do, then he led us through a bunch of questions. Now, here was the first question. What kind of a world do we live in? Now, you have to imagine the answer to that question because he made us answer this, okay? So if Pastor Bill was looking at you right now and said, what kind of a world do we live in? Think about the answers that you would give. We started talking about the kind of world that we live in here in Canada. We said it's a very secular world, right? There's a lot of people who don't have any faith of any kind, or they certainly don't have a Christian faith. We live in a very secular world. We said we live in a very globalized world. We're very impacted by things that happen on the other side of the world. Lots of us have jobs with global corporations. That is a big part of who our world is. We said we're a world with all kinds of technology. I told you all to pull out your smartphones earlier. Everything is done online. Everything is wireless. Everything is on camera. We're a world that's very, very technological. We said we're in a world that is very multicultural. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Maybe you just take a look around. We live in a world that's very multicultural. We live in a world that is multi-generational. There are five generations represented in this church, and each of them is fairly certain that they view life right and everyone else is wrong. No. And we said, what kind of a world is it that we live in? We talked about all these things, and then we said, what kind of a world is Evangel in? And we said, we're in a very urban world right here. It's a very urban world. It's a highly secular world. It's a bilingual world. And it's a world that has a massive population, actually, of both students, 100,000 students within spitting distance of our building here, and also has a high number of new immigrants, newcomers to Canada, right around us. And we all go, yeah, that's the kind of world we live in. Right? Elbow the person next to you and tell them, see, I've been telling you, that's the kind of world we live in. This pastor's smart. We should keep her. Right? And then we went on to the second question. And the second question was, what kind of church will it take to reach that kind of world? So we stopped and we thought about that. Our whole lead team, we said, well, it's got to be a church that offers community because with all the technology and everything that's happening, lots of people are alone in a crowd. And so we need to be able to develop connection and relationship and community. We need that kind of a church. We need a church that understands outreach, because how can we go if we don't go? And we have to get outside of our walls, and we have to be able to fling open the doors. And we said, we need to be a church that helps people grow spiritually, because it's go and make disciples. That's what Jesus said. And so we have to somehow facilitate spiritual growth for people so that they can grow and become strong disciples. We said, you know what? There needs to be a church that strengthens families and supports families, because families take quite a beating out there in the world. And so it would be good to strengthen them. And we said, you know, we're kind of church that the kind of church that actually has to have a really strong home base, because we can't all just go and abandon here. We got to have a strong, healthy home base. And from there, we send people and we go and we integrate and we impact our world and then we bring people back and then we get refreshed and we go again. And there's this constant movement of back and forth, in and out and all of that. And we said we need to be a church that worships God because he's the reason for it all. And everybody goes, yeah, come on. Yeah, that's the kind of church I'm talking about. That's the kind of church I would brag about. That's my church. Say that with me. That's my church. Okay? And you go, I like this pastor. We should keep her. Right? And then there was a third question. And the third question was, what kind of ministries will have to be in that kind of church to reach that kind of world? And we thought through that whole thing. We started talking it out, and we said, well, with all the students that we have, we probably should figure out a way to do some kind of outreach to campuses or something like that. And we said, you know, with all of the new immigrants and the newcomers to Canada here, we probably should do something that helps out with that kind of a thing. And maybe what kind of ministries we need to have. We have people all around our church here who are poor and in need, and probably we should have some kind of ministry that does something to help them. And we said, well, you know, there's these five 5 generations in church. We have babies and we have senior citizens and we have everything in between. We should probably have some way that we minister to all 5 of those generations. And then we said, well, we live in a province that is predominantly Francophone, and so we started this French campus called Le Campus 3 years ago, which I was there last week, by the way. Fantastic. And we said, we probably need to keep that going. We need to support it. We need to strengthen it. We need to help that grow because it's a no-brainer to have a Francophone ministry in Quebec. And then we said, well, we need to, if we're going to strengthen families, we got to have a strong kids ministry and youth ministry, but they should be outward focused, not just home-based focused. They should be out there and we should still have the gathering place. Everybody agreed. Really need the gathering place. It's a good place to connect and to grow spiritually and to meet other people and to explore and to ask questions. And everybody goes, yeah. We do need those ministries. This church should be doing all those things. Go, that's my church. I like this pastor. She's going to do all of that. Let's keep her. You feel what's coming, right? And then the question was asked, what kind of people, regular Sunday morning, sitting in the seats kind of people, will have to lead those kinds of ministry in that kind of church to reach that kind of world? And everybody went silent. That's you. I don't like the pastor anymore. She's pushy. Listen, here's the thing. It's your church. It's our church. It's not separate from us. It is us. There is no church without all of us. We are evangel. That's what people say. And here's the thing. There is no concept in Scripture of an institution called a church that is separate from the followers of Jesus who call it their church. There's no separation. There's no faceless institution. There's no institution that has the face of the pastor on it separate from the church. The followers of Jesus that make up my church are the church. It's a living organism. All of us together. All of us as different parts of it. In the Bible, they call it the body of Christ. All the different parts working together. And here's the other thing. There are no volunteer parts in a body. I woke up this morning hungry. My hand did not volunteer to make toast. My stomach said, hungry. My brain said, do something about that. My hand made the toast, put peanut butter on it, crunchy, not smooth, thank you very much. Right. And then the hand put it in my mouth. My mouth took over, started chewing, digested, sent it down. The stomach said, thank you. And it digested and sent stuff out back up to the brain so everything could keep functioning. You understand there was no volunteering in that process. Just all the pieces working together to do what needed to be done. That's how church works. That's how the body works. And somebody goes, oh no, but I've seen it go horribly wrong. Of course you have. It goes wrong if a few people try to do the work of the whole body. Then they burn out. It goes wrong if the focus of the whole body becomes just to consume and just to serve itself. Imagine if all I did was ever eat peanut butter toast. Not healthy. Right? It goes wrong if one part of the body gets sick and still keeps going. At that time, that part of the body should rest. If you're breaking an ankle, put your foot up and let the ankle rest and let it heal, and the rest of the body sort of covers for it until things get better. But that is how the body works, and that is how the church works. This is where everyone goes really quiet. The thing is, when people talk about my church, you just said it, right? Say it with me again. That's my church, right? Lots of times when people talk about that and they say, that's my church, they say it as in, that's my dentist, my hairdresser, my favorite shoe store, my hockey team. And we say it as consumers. Well, I paid for it, so it should serve me. And if I'm a consumer at my church, then the church exists for me. And the church exists to meet, to serve me, and to meet my needs, and to feed me spiritually. And the church exists to make me happy, and to cater to my preferences, and to provide for me. And if my church doesn't do that, well then, something's wrong with somebody. Something's wrong with the pastor. Something's wrong with the leadership. Something is wrong with the sound team or the ushers or the kids ministry or the youth pastor, and I am going to leave and find a church that suits me better, that will be my church. You see how this whole idea is based on the assumption that the church is a separate entity from me? See how it's based on that? It's a consumer mentality. On the other hand, if when I say, this is my church, say it with me again, this is my church. If I say that as if I'm an owner, how many of you have heard of WestJet? Right? It's this airline, a Canadian airline, that has this reputation for low prices and excellent customer service. And their whole philosophy is built on the premise that every employee is an owner. Every person that works at WestJet has shares in the company. So they are invested in and they are committed to its success. WestJet employees are owners and owners care. And it's amazing how that mindset changes everything. Check this out. It's supposed to be longer than that. So no? It was so good, you guys. I'm going to send you the link to it in my email this week. So it's this fantastic rap that I can't possibly do of WestJet owners, WestJet employees standing up and going, you know, I am willing to do whatever I need to do to make WestJet successful, even if somebody's grumpy with me or if a part breaks, I'm going to fix it and I'm going to serve people and I'm going to do all that thing because owners care. Say it with me. Owners care. Owners care. Are you guys waving at me telling me you can do it? All right, do it.
Yeah, yo, this goes out to all my fellow owners.
Peace, y'all.
Owners are in my house. A big house.
Big house.
20010.
20010.
Where my guest set? 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 Where my guests at? Where my guests? I'm talking WestJet at the YYZ, sending love to the entire owner's family, you see? From YYJ to YHZ, I got love to share, and that's a guarantee from me.
Tech ops, they be fixing the plane, making sure that in the sky we will always remain the same. Call center and the SSC, even though I'm a grump, no hanging up on me, cause
owners care, yeah, yeah, owners care, yeah. Owners care, yeah, it's in the air, yeah. Owners care, yeah, owners care, yeah. Let me tell you, owners care.
That's totally worth waiting for, yeah? Say with me, owners care, yeah? Owners care, that's different than a consumer. If I'm an owner at my church, at my church, then I am invested and I'm committed to its success. It's like owning a house. I get that I gotta pay the bills, I gotta do the work, I gotta take the responsibility and carry it because it's my house, my church. An owner is invested in the success of their church. An owner understands the cost of making it thrive. An owner of a church is willing to do the hard work of ensuring that this church, this local group, this expression of the body of Christ does well what it's called to do. A consumer receives. And if a consumer serves, then it's a favor or it's because somebody guilt-tripped them into it. I'm not really a fan of guilt. I could smell manipulation a mile away. But I believe, you guys, in the church. I believe that the church was God's way, God's idea for showing Jesus to the world. I believe that the church is God's primary tool for fulfilling the Great Commission so that people can meet Jesus. And I believe that when a church takes ownership for its mission and its calling, every single person, then there is no end. There's no limit to what God can do in this city. And if that's my church, say it with me, my church, then I'm proud to take my place in it. Because owners care. Owners do the work. Somebody should tweet that. Listen, last week, Jeff and I were at La Campus, and we were at our Francophone service over there, and it is a phenomenal group of people. And we only understand a little bit of French, Jeff and I do, but it didn't matter. We gestured and made faces, and it all worked. And I talked to one of them that was there, and they had intentionally gone over to La Campus from this space right here 3 years ago. And they came over to me, and they said, "Can I tell you my story?" I said, "Sure." They said, "You know, I used to attend the English part of Evangel. I used to come, and I sat there," and he goes, "it was wonderful. Loved it. Loved the music. Loved the preaching. Great congregation. It was great. I went there every Sunday morning. I sat there and I just loved it." And he said, "But then when it was announced that we were planting a Francophone church on the other side of the city and they needed people to help, I signed up." You know why? Because, he said, "I wanted to do something. I had been sitting in those seats all that time, receiving, loving, enjoying. I wanted to do something. I wanted to contribute to the success of it all. I wanted to make a meaningful contribution to what was going on. And so I came over here," he said, and he goes, I get up early and I have to do hard work. And sometimes it's messy and sometimes mistakes happen and often we're tired. But he goes, "It's great. It's my church." He's an owner. Here at Evangel, we have a boatload of owners already. We do. A couple weeks ago, I said to you, "Please tell me who the heroes are. Tell me who the people are that are living inside out lives. Tell me who the people are that are doing good out there, who are loving each other within here. Tell me who the people are that are revealing Jesus." And some of you did. You started sending me emails about each other, and you're going to hear about them at some point. But you started sending me emails, "Pastor Patty, you need to know this person does this, this person does that, this person," all of these kinds of things. We have got a boatload of owners in this church. And if you know who they are, I want you to tell me, because I want to celebrate them. But some of us never really thought about it that way before, you know, as an owner. Some of you thought that maybe you weren't needed in the church. Or some of you thought that maybe you only the special people get to have a place, or only the gifted people, or only the people with a certain color of hair get to play a part in the church. Or, let's be honest, some of you, because this is true in every church, some of you tried to find your place, tried to become part, and something went wrong because people are imperfect, and you got offended, and you gave up and kind of pulled back. And can I just be honest with you? That happens. It just happens. None of us are perfect here. That's where that radical love of Jesus kicks in, where we love each other and we forgive each other and we're patient and kind, even when the other person's wrong, by the way. And some of us, and I need to say this because it's important, because some of us are in a place that's a little bit hurting or a little bit in need of rest or a little bit needing some healing. And you need the rest of the body of Christ to cover for you for a while, because you're trying to get rested up and you're trying to find healing again. That's fine. And some of you are here and you go, "I don't even know yet if this is my church. I'm not even sure what I think about Jesus." That's okay. You let us know when you're ready. But for everybody else, an inside-out church needs owners, needs followers of Jesus who understand that the church is God's plan. This is it. This is it. And it's your church. It's our church. We're owners in a church that recognizes the world that we live in and wants to carry Jesus to it. So here's the takeaway this morning. Pull out your smartphone if you have it. We're going ultra practical. You go, I cannot believe we're doing this in church. We are. We're doing this. Ultra practical. I emailed the staff on Tuesday night and I said, you guys, I want you to make a list. Tell me where you need owners, each of you, to help this church thrive, to help it do what it's called to do. And so they all made lists, all the staff did. And the list got handed off to Pastor Mike, who put it on our website, and to Pastor Joe, who put it on paper. So those of you that don't have smartphones, stay tuned, okay? But if you have a smartphone, pull it out, open your browser, and type in evangel.qc.ca. Go ahead, do it. Evangel.qc.ca. You go, I'll do it later. Just open it now, and that'll remind you the next time you turn on your phone. Evangel.qc.ca. And then you're going to look on there, and you're going to look underneath Connect. And underneath Connect, you're going to click on Get Involved. Okay? And underneath that whole thing, under Get Involved, you are going to see all kinds of possibilities of where you can get involved. There's children's ministry, there's youth and young adults, there's operations. You know, we need help with our building. We need help getting it clean. We need help with data entry sometimes. We need help answering phones. We need help in all those things. Guest services and connecting. We need owners who are fully committed to smiling warmly at every single person that walks in on a Sunday morning and that will serve them coffee and will help them give them information that they need. Evangel Creative Arts, Le Campus, Outreach, and the list will go on. It will continually change. If you click on one of those places, you're going to see a little form pop up that just says, hey, I'd like some more information. You're not signing up right away. You're not giving away your firstborn child. You're just saying, hey, I'm trying to find my place because this is my church. Can you give me some information? And if you're a person that doesn't like technology, all that very same information is on little clipboards back at Get Connected. You just put your name and your phone number there. Somebody will call you. Somebody will respond to you this week. And you can have a conversation and find your place. Can I ask you to stand? Stand with me. Turn to the person beside you and say, this is my church. Then look back at them and go, this is your church. And then turn to one more person and say, owners care. God, I say thank you for creating the church. I say thank you for creating this tool, this idea that you had to reveal Jesus to the world. God, I thank you that we're not just in it on our own, just me and God, but that we're in it as part of a church. And that when we all work together and we do what we're called to do for the mission of this church and we do good and we love each other, then in that, when that happens, we reveal Jesus and we become an inside-out church that impacts our city and changes our world. And so God, I'm asking you, this has been an ultra practical message this morning, but it matters. And I'm asking you that you would remind us and you would, God, elbow us, spiritually speaking. If we have not yet found our place, would you remind us over and over again today and tomorrow and the next day and help us to start finding where our place is? God, we don't just want to volunteer and fill a hole. We want to be an owner that is deeply committed to the mission of what you have called us to do. We want to be an owner that finds our place in the place that suits us best and that suits the church best because you've created us in order to do that. So God, I'm asking that you would help to lead us in that way and help us to honor you with everything we do so that we can carry Jesus to Montreal. God, we ask that you would help us as we leave now. Would you help us to honor you, carry you well, bless each other as we go? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like to receive prayer this morning, there are elders here at the front that would be happy to pray for you. But really what I want you to do is get on your smartphone or check out one of those clipboards at the back and start figuring out if you can find your place. God bless you. Have a great week.